Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you so much for being here. It's good to have you with us and studying this amazing teaching. The Transcendent Powers of the Tathagata, Chapter 21. It's a short one, actually, so I think we'll get through it in this one video. That's what I'm going to attempt anyway. Thereupon, the Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, equal to the number of particles in the great manifold cosmos, that's a lot of Bodhisattvas, who had emerged from the earth, oh, you and me, all in the presence of the Buddha, gazed single-mindedly at his face with their palms pressed together, and spoke to the Buddha, saying, O Buddha, after the parinirvana of the Buddha, we will teach this sutra extensively in the lands of the Buddha's separate forms at the time of his extinction. Why is this? Because we also wish to attain this true, pure, great Dharma and to preserve, recite, explain, copy, and make offerings to it. So when you hear Nichiren talking about keeping the vows that we've made, these are the vows he's talking about. You and I, albeit in a future projection of Shakyamuni's teaching, were predicted to have made this commitment. And if you're still confused about how he plays with time this way, let me confuse you more by leading you to the recent videos on now, this now is not now, and the timelines video. This is another way of saying that Buddha-ness, Buddhahood, Buddha, is inherent in the very stuff, energy, of which we're instantiations. Do you see that? He's using the device of saying, first of all, you guys in the future are going to spring up from the earth. It's a metaphor for our future instantiation. And he's saying that in that future instantiation, we've already built in a commitment, a vow to our enlightenment. In other words, Buddha-ness is inherent. That makes sense? It's really not as crazy complex as maybe a first reading. If you don't understand Buddhism, then reading this stuff gets, oh, what's he talking about? And under the earth, and were they dead first? And I mean, this is our linear thinking, right? But you need to be a little more free-flowing in your understanding. Remember, Buddhism is about the mind, not your feet or your hands, right? We think when we talk in Buddhism about taking action, right away, we think of physical action. And yes, but if you know anything about martial arts, physical actions doesn't happen until the mind decides there will be physical action. Then the Buddha manifested his great transcendent powers in the presence of Manjushri and the other immeasurable hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, who had long lived in this Saha world, such humans and non-humans as monks, nuns, laymen, right, the fourfold assembly, devas, nagas, yakshas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kimnaras, and mahoragas. He put out his wide and long tongue. That's a metaphor or a simile. I always get confused. Anyway, it's a representation of the teaching itself. It's not about how big his tongue was. It was about the oral tradition and how it would spread long and wide, yes? Which reached upward to the Brahma world. And I think we just talked recently about the Brahma world in the video on one of the new terms in volume 2 of Buddhism Reference. He emitted innumerable and immeasurable colored rays of light from his pores of his flesh. He just became a bright light, yeah. And universally illuminated the worlds of the 10 directions. Basically, that means that everyone in this audience, this assembly, can now perceive the entirety of the conditions of life. Right? He's sharing. It's like everybody's running around the house in the dark, and they don't know where this or the, where'd you put the candles? The power's out, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody walks in with a great lantern and the whole house is lit up. Oh, okay. Right? The analogy, the metaphor. All the Buddhas sitting on the lion seats under the jeweled trees also put out their wide and long tongues and emitted immeasurable rays of light in the same way. So this is the propagation of the teaching, right? Spreading. Shakyamuni Buddha and the other Buddhas under the jeweled trees manifested transcendent powers while fully hundreds of thousands of years passed. Here's this time thing again, right? Right now, we're doing this and hundreds of years are passing? No, past. So in an instant, everybody sees to understand everything. The propagation of Buddhism makes the passage of time kind of irrelevant. Because in this instance, we've just experienced thousands of years. Remember Kalpa and these measurements of time? They're an experience, not a ruler measurement. Right? Do you ever, in whatever discipline, get one of those aha moments where suddenly, and this is kind of a definition of that renge or aha moment, everything in your mind about whatever it is you're thinking about is revised in an instant. Suddenly everything makes sense. Suddenly you know why this worked and that didn't work. And all those things didn't work. But that worked. Oh, now I see why. Everything is revised. Right? So if you tried to put that into words, especially back then, to see this as a potential, as a result of the action of propagation, that's what you're reading here. Right? Makes sense. After this, they drew back their tongues, coughed. How hilarious that he would add that. my billions of light year long tongue had to cough to get it back into place. That's just so funny. They drew back their tongues, coughed, and snapped their fingers together in unison. Like, okay, wake up. It's kind of like hypnosis, yeah? Those two sounds penetrated throughout the various Buddha worlds of the 10 directions, and the earth quaked in 6 ways. Kind of a big reset. Mm-hmm. Through the transcendent powers of the Buddha, all the sentient beings in these worlds, humans and such non-humans as spirits and serpents and, you know, positive influences, negative influences, all influences, that's what all those personages are about, saw all the Buddhas sitting on the lion seats under the immeasurable, limitless hundreds of thousands of myriads of kodas of jeweled trees in the Saha world. They saw Shakyamuni Buddha sitting on the lion's seat in the jeweled stupa, together with Tathagata Prabhutaratna, or Tahoe. They also saw immeasurable, limitless hundreds of thousands of myriad of kodas of bodhisattva mahasattvas, and the fourfold assembly respectfully surrounding Shakyamuni Buddha. After seeing this, they all rejoiced greatly at having attained this unprecedented experience. He did it early on in the Lotus Sutra, but okay, this is unprecedented. They're seeing it again from maybe a different perspective, but it's not unprecedented, that being as it may. At the same time, all the devas spoke loudly while in the air, saying, and that may be the only difference, because at the beginning, they weren't hovering in the air, yeah? Beyond these immeasurable, limitless hundreds of thousands of myriad of kodas of incalculable worlds, there is a land called Saha. In it is a Buddha called Shakyamuni. For the sake of the Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, he now teaches the Mahayana Sutra called the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo, the instruction for bodhisattvas and treasured lore of the Buddhas. You should rejoice deeply. You should also honor and pay homage to Shakyamuni Buddha, your teacher, your exemplar. Hearing this voice in the air, all those sentient beings pressed their palms together, faced the Saha world and said, "We take refuge in Shakyamuni Buddha. We take refuge in Shakyamuni Buddha." Right? And refuge, which is also now in the Volume 2, Buddhism Reference, is an extended meaning that we take our minds and focus them on that which will liberate us. It's not just the protection that you might put with the word refuge, right? A place where you hide to be safe is altered in its meaning to be a commitment of action, taking refuge. And the refuge you're taking is in the practice of enlightenment, which itself is your protection in the Saha world. Make sense? All of them scattered various kinds of flowers, incense, necklaces, banners, canopies, ornaments, jewels, and other beautiful things over the Saha world from afar. So this is their perception changing, yes? And everything ameliorates, becomes beautiful, joyful, right? You don't have to run around dropping petals from flowers. It's an attitude change. All that had been scattered formed together from the 10 directions like a cloud. There's that again. And was transformed into a jewel screen that covered all the Buddhas. Then the worlds of the 10 directions became pellucid, without obstruction, as if they were one Buddha land. Bingo! The cosmos as one Buddha land. It's all the same experience, innate in everything, all phenomena. Thereupon, the Buddha addressed the great assembly of bodhisattvas, beginning with Visistakarita. The transcendent powers of the Buddhas are as immeasurable, limitless, and inconceivable as this. Remember, this is your experience, my experience, available to us, requiring only that we awaken it. Yet if I were to use these transcendent powers to teach the benefits of this sutra so that it would be entrusted to you for immeasurable, limitless, hundreds of thousands of myriads of kodas of incalculable kalpas, I would not be able to reach the end of these qualities. Because as soon as you think you've reached enlightenment, there's more. To sum up, In this sutra, I have clearly revealed and taught all the teachings of the Tathagata of Buddhaness. All the transcendent powers of the Tathagata, all the treasure houses of the hidden essence of the Tathagata, and all the profound aspects of the Tathagata. For this reason, after the Parinirvana of the Tathagata, me, you should wholeheartedly preserve, recite, explain, and copy it, and practice according to the teaching. Those who accept, recite, explain, and copy it, and practice according to the teachings, in whichever land they may be, in a place where the sutra abides, either in a garden, a forest, a tree, in a monk's chamber, a layman's house, in a palace, or on a mountain, in a valley, or in the wilderness. In all of these places, they should erect and pay homage to a monument. That's our mandala. Thank you, Nichiren. Why is this? Because you should know that these places are the terraces of enlightenment, wherever you are, because you carry your mind with you. Where all the Buddhas have attained highest complete enlightenment, where all the Buddhas have turned the wheel of the Dharma, and where all the Buddhas entered Parinirvana. So where is this where? Right? It's not a location. It's an experience, and that experience can only occur in your sentient mind. Wherever you are, so does your sentience go. And this is the place where all the Buddhas have reached their enlightenment. Thereupon, the Buddha, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this, further spoke in these verses. The Buddhas, world inspirers, abiding in their great transcendent powers, manifest this immeasurable power in order to gladden sentient beings. Their tongues reach up to the Brahma world, and they emit innumerable rays of light from their bodies. Right? We are aura. We radiate out enlightenment, how we influence our environment primarily. They manifest this marvel for those who seek for the Buddha path. The coughing and snapping sounds of the Buddhas are universally heard in the lands of the ten directions. Again, the sound of the voice plays a key role here. The earth quakes in six ways because the sutra can be preserved after the nirvana of the Buddha. All the Buddhas rejoice and manifest their immeasurable transcendent powers. Even if for immeasurable kalpas they praise those who preserve this sutra in order to entrust it, they will not reach the limit of their merit. The qualities of those people are limitless and endless, just like the boundless sky in the ten directions. Those who preserve this sutra have already seen me. The Buddha Prabhudraratna and the various magically created forms, imaginary, personages, so on and so forth. And today they see all the bodhisattvas I have led and inspired up until now. Those who preserve this sutra will gladden me, my imaginary created forms, as well as the Buddha Prabhudraratna, who has entered nirvana. They will also see, gladden, and pay homage to the past and future Buddhas and those who are present, right? Because it's all in the same moment. We just talked about this. In the ten directions, right? Wherever. It's not a linear thing. It's instantaneous. Those who preserve this sutra will before long attain the Dharma, the experience of enlightenment, the hidden essence which was attained by the Buddhas seated upon the terrace of enlightenment, which is wherever you are, the mind. The terrace of enlightenment, you could say, is the Gohonzon, because it's in the mind. That terrace of enlightenment is that last placeholder for the eye to open, the Buddha eye. Those who preserve this sutra will explain the meaning of the Dharma, the names and phrases joyfully with undying vigor. Like the wind in the sky that has no obstruction whatsoever, after the parinirvana of the Tathagata, they will know the causes and conditions and the sequences of the sutras taught by the Buddha, and will explain the truth in accordance with its meaning. As the light of the sun and moon eliminates the darkness, I didn't realize how right on my light in the dark house was. These people practicing in the world will extinguish the blindness of sentient beings, teaching innumerable bodhisattvas to dwell ultimately, can't read this morning, in the single vehicle, Myoho Rengekyo. For this reason, the wise, hearing of the benefits of these merits, should preserve this sutra after my nirvana. Those people will be resolute and will unwaveringly follow the Buddha path. So, congratulations. All right, that's the end of chapter 21. 22 is entrustment. So we'll see how Shakyamuni speaks directly to you and I about our vows. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your practice. As I say, that's everything. Your support, like and subscribe. It's a bodhisattva. It's a propagation of this teaching, this resource anyway. Yeah, the website, the free podcast, all of the links are in the description. You know the drill. Patrons, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you all in the next chapter. Unless I think of some term I want to share with you first. Anyway, this all comes out every day. I've been a little bit prolific lately. But there's just a lot going on in my head, and I want to make sure I get it on record. And I'm excited by a lot of new members lately, very engaged in the comments and emails. Thank you so much for that. You can see that it charges me up, so I'll do 2 or 3 videos a day. If I have the energy, I'll do it. I want to keep your practice strong and committed, and I put all my energy into this. So thank you. Thank you for letting me know that you're interested. Yes? All right. Do a kindness for yourself. Take care of your health. And I will see you in the next one, undoubtedly. All right. Bye for now.